My name's Michelle, and I took part in Peak Endurance's workshop on Mastering Your Menstrual Cycle. I can honestly say that this workshop has given me a new perspective on life. It's equipped me with the knowledge to understand my own body and the phases of the menstrual cycle that it goes through. I found it particularly fascinating that I could relate to the content almost instantly, and why there were days where I felt sluggish to run or days where I felt invincible in the gym. Isabel's workshop has provided me with the tools to fuel better and train smarter.
Hello and welcome to the Peak Endurance podcast, all the way from sunny, beepless Germany.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Or as they say in Germany, hello.
They say hello. Anyway, yes. So here we are finally in Europe. We thought it would never happen. And when we were on the plane, we were pretty sure it was never going to happen.
Yeah.
It was just a nightmare that it was going to continue with us watching terrible movies and
trying to sleep.
And I had the best seat on the first flight, 9.5 hours, that it would not lean back. It would lean back and then it would slowly go until I was back in an upright position. Then I'd put it back and then go upright position. Seriously.
It's just like a slow action rocking chair.
And then on the second flight, I got the dodgy table so that whenever they gave me a meal, my plates and everything would slide off into my lap. It was like concave. So it was very frustrating, but I managed to get over it somehow.
I think you managed to get over it by sleeping.
Yes,
the second flight.
Yes, so did you.
Yeah.
So did you. And we have got no jet lag.
No.
But I've always said that it is easier going here. It's harder coming back.
Yeah.
Firstly, I think it's easier going to wherever your holiday is because you're excited.
Yeah.
You're refreshed and everything as much as you can be after work. But on the way back, you're knackered from the holiday as well.
That's right.
And who wants to go home? And
yeah.
But it is harder, I believe, going to Australia than coming here. For jet lag. So we have coped remarkably well. And why have we coped? We slept.
We slept, yeah.
That when we knew it would be nighttime in Germany, so we slept for that.
Yeah.
And you, who says that you normally never sleep on an airplane, you did really well.
So
how did you manage to make yourself sleep?
I woke up a lot. Like,
But it's never going to be pure normal sleep. It's always going to be broken. It always is for me, too.
So, but I think because the first half, which was, about 8.5 hours?
No, it was 9.5.
9.5 hours into Bangkok.
Yeah.
I stayed awake the whole time. And that was essentially a daytime flight. You know,
it started 2 p.m. Yeah, it was not daytime.
It was in Bangkok. It was about, 10 o'clock or 10:30 at night by the time we got to Bangkok.
Yes. Their time.
Yeah, their time.
Later than, it was about 1 o'clock our time. And then we sat in Bangkok for a couple hours and I lay down and slept for probably 45 minutes.
Yep.
Once again, sleep, as much as it is sleep.
It was one of those ones where when you went to sleep, there weren't that many people around, and when you woke up,
surrounded. Oh, my God. And there was people everywhere and my feet were hogging a seat, but I didn't care because there were still sitting.
There was no one sitting beside me on the other side.
No. So, we must have smelled.
We looked like we'd been on a flight for 9.5 hours.
Yeah, I think we did look like that. Also, my elastic for my hair had broken.
So it
was looking a bit wild and woolly, and I did the best I could, but I couldn't get it super tight, and I didn't want to play with it anymore. So I looked like a bit of I'd crawled backwards through a blackberry bush. But, other than that, I look awesome.
Yeah.
Especially with my Lululemon pants and slippers.
That's right, wearing your slippers through the airport.
You get to the point you just don't care anymore. It's all about comfort.
Yeah.
I'm no longer in that time of my life where I care about how I look.
That's right. And wearing slippers when you're going through the X-ray machine is
a lot easier to take your shoes off. than you with your laces and all that crap. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? So we are talking a bit about how to keep up with your running and your training when you are traveling, because it is tricky. You fly all that way, and if you're not dedicated to ensuring that you avoid jet lag, you will end up with jet lag.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
You have to make yourself sleep. I hear people, I can't sleep, I just stay awake. Well, that's rubbish. Everyone gets tired, over 27 hours, there is no way that you're not tired. Just make yourself sleep. Yes, it's uncomfortable, 100%, absolutely uncomfortable. But, you know, I would just wake up probably every 15, 20 minutes, stretch a bit and just go back to sleep because, yes, it's uncomfortable, but sleep is better than just making yourself stay awake watching movies that, to be honest, they're crap. I was a bit disappointed, but to be honest also, there hasn't been any good movies that have come out, so they didn't really have much to choose from. But you need to make yourself sleep. That That's is right. what you need to do. None of this, oh, I can't. Yes, you can. You're a grown up and you just do it, basically.
And then also once you get to where you're going, you know, adapting to that.
Adapting to that time schedule right away. Yeah. We arrived in Biebler or in Frankfurt at 6 a.m. We had all day to get through.
Which,
Ron wanted to go for a nap in the afternoon, but I said, no, that's for you.
It was fine right up, you know, until we start to get around 6 o'clock in the afternoon or evening, and the eyelids were starting to droop a bit.
Yeah. See, I was fine. I was full of beans the whole day.
Sat down
I think I was excited.
After dinner, you know, to relax. And as soon as I sat down, my eyes
To be fair, you were falling asleep after lunch. The stein of beer might have been
the stein of beer and the six sausages that I had for lunch. might have contributed.
Ron is embracing the German culture of food and drink. Oh, it was good though. How better can you get than pretzels and sausages, vice versa? They're white sausages for lunch. I mean, honestly.
And a stein of beer.
And a stein. Who needs veggies? no, honestly, it was so delicious. I just love German food and I was brought up on German food. So, and I had introduced Ron to vice versa about a year and a half ago or something when I made the kids a nice German meal. That's that was the first time you had
it vice versa. And I'm a complete convert.
And I made vice versa and Feinkraut and mashed potatoes, which is your favourite. So, that's a very German meal and that's, and my kids love it. And so that's what we had. And now you, I think, love vice versa almost more than me, if that's possible.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I do love it.
Yeah. So so we stayed awake all day and we didn't go to bed until 9 o'clock. By the time we hopped into bed after we brushed our teeth, it was 8:52 because I looked because I wanted to know.
And by 8:53 I was asleep.
You were. And normally I lie awake going, oh, he's such a bastard. We can go to sleep so quickly and easily. I lie there for another half an hour, jealous. But I don't know if you can hear the church bells ringing. It's 12 o'clock.
The 12 o'clock church bells ringing.
Yeah, they might go a bit longer, but I don't think they'll hear. Anyway, but no, I don't even remember being jealous of you. I think I was like a light. And I woke up, I mean, you know, other than turning over during the night and, you know, waking up, I woke up at 4, just ding. I was like, I'm ready for the day. And I knew it wasn't proper morning yet because there was no light coming up, but I knew it must be early and I guesstimated 4. I looked at my clock and it was 4.
Yep.
And then I lay there until 5 when I got super bored and then I sat up and was chatting with clients, messaging clients and that sort of thing. And then you woke up.
And then I woke up around 5.
And it wasn't my fault.
No.
Yes, yeah, so I got up like 10 to 5 and then you woke up. And then we got the day started.
We went for a run and went to the gym.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Stick to your routines. Get your run in. We didn't do a long run. We only did about 11, 12 Ks. So that's not a huge time out of your day. Then we went to the gym and we've joined Kieran Beeples for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But we intend to go in other, like when we're in Belgium, we'll go to the gym. And even if we just get in a workout every now and again, otherwise 6 weeks without any strength training, it's going to be hard when you go back. Okay. I remember after, because I have to be fair, when we're in Canada, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
And we should have.
Yeah, I mean,
because when we got back, it was horrible.
We probably could have in Canada. We couldn't in America because we were
we were in a park. But yes. But
yeah, when we were in Canada, we probably could have. Found
but them. We had, they were such full days
and
running because it was always, you know, 2 hour drive to get to the runs.
That's right.
And you run all day, then 2 hour drive back, and we were knackered.
And all our runs were hilly runs, pretty much. All for the most part.
Yeah. And so we've joined gyms, and I believe packed my booty bands so they should be in there somewhere so that if we can't, I can still do a little bit of core work, do something, because strength training really stops you getting injured and it is so important. They've got to be able to hear those bells, right?
The bells are getting louder and louder.
Dealing with traveling is not as difficult as it needs to be. And sure, we don't have little kids, but and you might be saying, well, it's all right for you, you don't have kids. Well, we've had kids. We've had to cope with all of that too. And not only kids, but partners who didn't want us to run. So trying to fit that in around those two obstacles. Not that children are obstacles, but we still love them. But
No, they are. They're
yeah.
obstacles. But yeah, it just means, getting, and when you're, I guess it's a bit easy when you're in a, like you're vacationing in a summer area where it's a bit lighter earlier, and you get up early, get your run done
Yeah, but
later in the morning, and
I've done
then get your bike out.
holidays. Like the last time I went to Europe, I was with my daughter and she hated my running. She didn't, she would crack it. So I would get up super early in the dark, and run, because I still remember one run that sticks in my mind was and also she wanted to spend the day touristing. That's it wasn't just that I'm just pandering to my daughter. Although she is scary. I remember running and coming to up to the Eiffel Tower, and the it was dark. I mean, and the lights were on, and oh, it was just beautiful. Now, and we go to Paris, and I want to do an early morning run in the dark just so you can experience that, because it was so amazing. And just use running as a way of sightseeing. Even if you say to your other half or whoever you're with, I'm going to go for an early morning run. I'm going to scope out a few things that we can do, look for where to go, do some of that sort of stuff, do a bit of a recce, and there you go. And that way you're kind of going, see, it's okay.
Yeah,
You
that's right.
know,
Yeah.
as long as you give your partner time for something that they want to do
That's right. That's
as
the
well.
important thing as
Yeah.
just getting
But
that balance.
I don't think you can allow people to stop you from doing physical stuff that actually improves your well-being and means that you're going to be around here on this planet a bit longer.
Yeah.
Like, how can that be a bad thing?
That's right.
And for most of us, running is essential for our mental health, so no one should take that away from you.
Yeah.
That's really not fair. And maybe even if you have to compromise, okay, I'll only go for a shorter run, whatever, or I'll go at this time or whatever, you need to find a way of fitting it in, especially if you are using running to help with your mental health,
Yeah.
as one of your tools in your tool bag for that,
That's
because it
right.
is super important, and you are important.
That's right.
You are important.
There's nothing like touristing on your legs as well. Like, this morning we thought we'd run towards the River Rhine, which is obviously a well-known river in Germany, and we got probably what it was about 5 Ks on the path
Oh, the bells are
towards.
still going.
We got the matter again. About 5 Ks towards the river, and realised that there was no way we were going to get there.
Yeah,
We
because
turned
I've
our run into a 20-kilometer run.
and I don't want to do too much because I've got Switzerland this weekend, but
And the path that we were on was pretty
oh,
boring.
and I'm not a fan of those long bike paths, especially when you can see them stretching into the distance, and all you've got are fields around you, so there's not even any particularly awesome
Yeah,
scenery,
that's right.
and you're just like, oh my God. I said to Ron, if I have to run any further on this, I'm going to lose my love for running.
So
So we turned
we'll
around.
probably head in a different direction for our longer run.
Yeah, because Ron was like, oh, we could do a long run here. I'm not. Ron doesn't mind
No.
running along the.
Yeah. Because I can switch my mind off onto
No,
other things and
I can't.
forget about the fact that I'm running on a long, straight,
Forget about
boring path.
it. I can't. No way. All I can think then is, oh my God, this is so good. Oh my God, this is, oh my God, how much? Oh, that was 100 meters. Oh my God, this is. It's almost worse than a treadmill, because at least on a treadmill I can watch a movie or something.
Whereas I'm going, oh, look, there's a bird. Oh, look
Oh
at
my
that bird.
God.
Oh, yes, what? Oh, slug. Oh, look at that slug.
To be fair, I was the one that
Yeah,
stopped
you
us
saw
when we
that
saw a
slug.
slug. And there was something else I saw that I stopped us for. What was that? I don't know. What is it? I don't know. Something. The swans.
Oh, the swans. That's right.
Yeah,
Yes. There we
because
saw
there were
some
just
swans.
swans just in the little river that leads to the
It's like
Rhine.
a little creek thing
And
that runs there.
it was just like, it's funny because when we're in Boronia and French Guiana, there's creeks, but there's ducks. And I'm just
Yeah,
like, oh my
ducks,
God, isn't it funny that
no
for
swans.
them, yeah, it's swans, and for
Yeah,
us,
no ducks, there's
yeah.
only swans, and for us there's no swans, there's only
Ducks. I
ducks.
think I'd rather get chased by a duck than a swan, though.
Well, yes, that's right. At least with the ducks you can stare them down a little bit.
Oh, I've had ducks chase
Well, you had
me.
that duck smack you in the face.
Yes, I get those ducks. They don't like me. They tell me to duck off all the time.
because, you know, when the ducks see you coming, they think they can intimidate you.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah,
we can take this one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, it's because they know how tough I am. So it's like a manliness test for the duck. Oh, okay. See if we can beat her, and they can't.
Whereas with me, they go, oh, yeah, he's no thanks.
That's right, see? Anyway, so, yeah, so we've been to – it's our second day here, and we've already been for a run and been to gym. We might as well get everybody home.
I know, yeah.
We are boring creatures of habit. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with being a creature of habit. We're not that bad because we are – in Germany.
Yeah, and this afternoon we're going for a walk to a castle.
Yeah, so we're going to go somewhere. Do that. We'll take some photos. So look at my Insta, isabel.r, or Facebook, and I'll probably put them on Peak Endurance Coaching Stories. So, yeah. So, yeah, it's been fun.
Hmm.
And so that's what we intend to do. And Friday, of course, we head towards Fisch, which is where my race is in Switzerland, and it looks like we were worried it was going to be about 30 degrees. It looks like about 19.
Yeah.
Which... thanks the Lord,
yes,
is a lot better than 27.
Yes.
So hopefully that won't take me too horrendously long.
Yep. It should be different style, you know, with the hills being not only steep but long.
Long, yeah.
You know, longer than what, you know, we can really experience in Australia.
And that's the thing. If you're training for a race in Switzerland or, you know, the Dolomites or whatever, and you're in Australia, good luck with that for starters.
Yeah.
I mean, you do the best you can, and I'm coaching quite a few people for that sort of stuff. And we're just in Australia, all you can do is the best you can do.
Mm.
You can, otherwise, you'll say, well, I'll never race overseas, and how crap would that be, right? You just have to do like we do, the constant hill repeats, the up, down, up, down, up, down. It's not ideal. It's not thrilling. It's not exciting.
Mm.
But we, once again, we just have fun with it. Like we see people and they just laugh at us, and we all have a laugh together about how ridiculous we are doing 60 million reps and, you know, those sorts of things. And then we sort of time it and we try to go faster, not to the point where we're absolutely killing ourselves, but, you know, we try and
beat
have little different goals. Yeah, even if it's just a couple of seconds or whatever it is.
Or getting it under a certain time.
Yeah, getting it under. Like it doesn't have to be faster each time, but have it definitely under this time or whatever it is. Whatever, you know, arbitrary number I chose, I've forgotten now, because we're not going to have to do as much of that when we get back.
No.
You know?
We don't want, until, I guess, heart to heart.
Yeah, that's right. We'll do some more. Yeah. So then we'll do some more of that sort of stuff. Yeah. But, you know, do the best you can. Get to the gym. Do heavy leg work. Do hiking of hill repeats. Do stair repeats, like I said, in the reel, if that's all you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Try to mimic the course in your training. Like if it's got, you know, 6,000 meters over 100K, well, then if you're doing a 25K run, that would be 1,500 meters. Okay. So this is what I'm saying. Trying to mimic it as much as you can, even though the hills are not going to be, you know, a 3-hour climb or whatever. Yeah. So, yes, but it is important to practice the downhills and in the race itself. Don't go, woohoo, it's downhill. And then you're smashing your legs for 20Ks downhill and then you're stuffed and you can't do anything.
That's right.
All right, so that's training for those big hill events. Now, there were a couple of training points I wanted to talk about. I've spoken to a few people out on the trails when I've been doing all my races, and they have said they've enjoyed my 1-1 run workouts, which is 1-minute run, 1-minute hike, but ideally you should start with the hike. Now, people have misunderstood me and thought that the hike was recovery. The hike is not recovery. This is a complete workout with no recovery. So therefore you are not doing the 1-minute runs at sprint, doing them more at probably tempo. So you're going hard because you're uphill, but you're not going flat out. So it's a tempo run. This is like a tempo run. So if you do 20, which I work my way up to, 1-minute run, 1-minute hike, 1-minute run, that's 40 minutes. So it's a good length tempo run of sustained effort. There is no recovery in the effort. Therefore, you are not sprinting the 1 minute. You're running it hard, yes, and the walk is a bit of a recovery because it's not running, but you are walking hard. Get those arms swinging because it should not be on a steep hill. You shouldn't need to be pushing down your legs. It shouldn't be that steep. I mean, there might be portions of it, and then yes, but in general, you'll be walking it hard, swinging those legs, arms. That'd look weird.
Yeah.
Swinging those arms really hard. You've done this before.
Yeah.
What are your
anything
you want to add?
The purpose of the hike is to, when you are hiking, you're hiking with purpose. So you're not strolling. You're keeping
you're working hard, keeping the heart rate up. Yeah,
keeping the heart rate up. You're you know, the worst thing is, you know, being passed by people, you know, when you're walking, only to have to try and pass them again when you're running. But you're trying to maintain the effort and trying to conserve the energy while you're doing it by not running, but you're not, you know, you're not trying to recover or, you know, you know, let the heart rate drop back down again.
No, ideally the heart rate will drop a little bit, but it shouldn't drop much. And what we're trying to train here is that transition between running and walking, so that when you are in a race, because often what happens when people transition from running to walking, they slow right down.
Yeah.
So we want to change that. Now you can hear the train. I'll just yell so that you, it's a seamless transition. And also from walking to running, we're trying to improve those transitions so there's not much as much of a speed differential between them.
Yeah, that's right.
So focus on that. Start with just 10, so 10 minutes, and start with a hike so that you finish on a run. It's better to finish on a run than a hike. So start with a 10 minutes, 10, not my 10 minutes, 10 times, so it ends up being 20 minutes, 1 minute hike, 1 minute run, and both hard effort.
Yeah.
And a sort of a douche grade hill, which is a hill, but it's not super steep. I mean, we've done it on steep ish hills.
Yeah, we have. We've done it, you know, going up
Feather or Bellevue, which are in the Dandenongs.
They're in the Dandenongs, and it starts gradual and gets steeper.
Yeah. And so there are quite steep sections before running, though. I'm always like,
and you're playing, that's where you start to play those mind games. I've got to hope I don't have to run.
And invariably I have to run on the steep bits. But, you know, that's good for you too.
Yeah.
I've been lately doing it also on Basin Olinda Road, which, if you know the area, that's a really good douchebag hill.
That is.
And it's really long. It's a long. So I can do the 20 up there, whereas with the 20 up Feather or Bellevue, well, we have to start at Wadna Hutton.
That's right. And I think even then, the last time I did it, I think I only got 13 or so in.
So, 13. Well, you mustn't have started right down on the street.
No, I think we started on Olive Bank.
Olive Bank. Okay. Only people who live in Frenchy Gun and Boronia know what the hell we're talking about. Everyone else is like, what? Why that word? Shut up. Yes, I agree. So, anyway, we start off the trail.
Yeah.
Basically, to get it. Whereas on Basin and Road, which is a dirt road which connects two townships, it's much easier. But that's by the by.
Yeah.
Try to work from 10 up, and it's a sustained effort the whole time.
Yeah.
Now, someone commented on one of my Stravas, and I, for the love nor money, I can't find it again. It was after Adelaide Race, and I thought it was on the Adelaide Race, but I looked at the comments and I couldn't find it. I could be going blind or mad or both. And neither is out of the question. But what they asked was, how did I run down the hill bits which had these concrete squares? And they're just like all these squares put together. And like the first time I did it, when we did the 50K, I struggled. And I was trying to put my feet in the squares and not trip over with my shoes caught in the lip. And it was bloody awful. And I remember for the 100K, I was so stressed about it. Well, not stressed, but going, oh, my God, it's going to be horrible. Because I remember it really hurt my toes last time.
Mm.
But this time I followed what you did, and I just ran down the line that the squares joined together made.
Yeah.
So my feet were probably a bit further apart, but, oh, my God, that made it so much easier. So just don't run in the squares.
Yeah, they're kind of – where the joins are, they're kind of wide enough to land on. They're not as wide as your foot is, but they're wide enough to support your foot when you land on it. Whereas what it is basically they're there so that the land doesn't get washed down the hill.
Yeah, so they could have used anything to be better.
But what it does is when the land gets washed out of the holes in the brick, it exposes – you know, like holes that big in the
just the right
in
the size
concrete, to... just the right size for your foot to fall into it.
Yeah.
So you've got to really focus on landing on the edges, not landing in the middle, basically.
Yeah.
And this was at what 82 kilometers into the 100K race,
just when you
down a steep hill,
prancing through holes or something.
So, and it was when we got there, it was just past dark. So you know, it was dark enough that your eyes were still adjusting and, you know, trying to focus on where you're putting your foot while you're running downhill and being fatigued.
It's tough, but I certainly find it a lot easier.
Yeah.
So that's how we do it. And whoever asked that, I hope you're listening to the pod because you asked on Strava, but I could not find it. And I wanted to reply to you and seriously, I'm going crazy. And then someone else commented on Insta on when I was talking about doing the Switzerland race, saying that they would see me there. They're doing the 100 mile. And then for love nor money, I couldn't find that comment again to reply. So I apologise. I'm going mad. I've got too many Instagram accounts and Facebook, and it's just like too much to keep track of.
That's right.
You know, I've got the podcast, I've got the coaching, I've got me on Insta and Facebook. It's like,
and you see the comment come up as an alert. Then when you go,
I'll try it again.
You don't know where to look.
So anyway, they said, see me there. They're doing the miler because it's a qualify for Western States. And yes, see you there, hopefully, but I doubt it because you'll be in the miler. So.
Yeah.
I don't know when they start.
You'll be, I think, kicking off the day before.
The miler is.
They start on the Friday.
Yeah, I think so. I really have no clue because all I care about is 100. Yeah. But, good luck and have an awesome race. And, God, I hope the bridges aren't a skip. I'm going to keep going on about those bridges.
We saw some videos. There's actually, we thought there
with
was
children
only one.
Crossing them and like,
we thought there was only one of those bridges, but when we actually looked, you got an email.
Yeah, well, no, I looked on the website. Who knew that would help?
And there's actually two of those bridges.
Oh my God.
They do look stable.
I know. And I keep saying Swiss Engineering.
That's right. If the Swiss Engineering can't.
And there were children with their families going across, and I'm like, if they can do it, surely I can.
So, I'm sure it'll be perfectly fine.
I'm sure. And next week's podcast, I'll be going, oh, it was nothing. I'm so brave.
That's right.
But right now, I'm not.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to running alongside the glacier and climbing the mountains, then climbing down them.
Yeah.
So, yes, we'll see how it all goes. It's all a bit of fun.
That's right.
You know, at least the one good thing about it is, you know, back in the day when I used to come to Europe, it was because I was racing either to represent Australia or to, you know, for a big race for me. Mm. And it was always very stressful, especially when you're racing, when you're representing Australia, actually officially representing Australia in the World Championships. It's quite nerve-wracking and stressful. I mean, I always, you know, did okay, but, you know, in the few days before I would get quite nervous, whereas now it's like it doesn't – I mean, I'm nervous, but only because I know it's going to hurt, not because I'm worried about my results.
Yeah.
So you know that's okay, and hurting is okay,
and
it ends.
And ultimately, if you're going to hurt, the Swiss Alps is the
place
to
do it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, what we're going to do now is go and have some more coffee because you can never have enough.
And some lunch, I think. Oh,
soonish.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's the plan, and then we're going to go out to the castle, and it should be a nice day. So anyway, thanks for joining us for this shorter podcast. If you've got any questions, let us know and we'll talk about them next week. Especially about any of the workouts that I might have talked about, if it's not clear, let me know and I will clarify like we did today. And have a great rest of your week, everybody.
Goodbye from Germany.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Goodbye.